Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. He's Mark Potash. Potsy coming up. We will talk about Caleb Williams getting another chance to play in a preseason game and doing it this time in front of the home crowd. All that and more coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Potsy, as you and I sit here, it is a Thursday afternoon. Matt Eberflus has just announced that Caleb Williams and the rest of the Bears starters will play on Saturday against the Bengals at Soldier Field. Are you surprised?
Not really. Maybe a little bit because I thought, they liked the reps of the joint practices so much. But again, as I said earlier, Matt Eberflus mentioned last week, noted there's only one instead of two like they had last year with the Colts. So it doesn't surprise me. And, believe me, I'm for that. I think that's good to get guys real game snaps. And Cole Kmet, I thought, had a good response to a question about that. He's saying there's really, as much as the coach's value, he didn't say this, but as much as the coach's value, those joint practices, he as a player says there's nothing like game speed where you know you're going to get tackled to the ground, and when you block a guy, you're taking him to the ground. And just, and that makes a lot of sense. So I think that's good, although, as we saw today, there are risks anytime you play.
Yeah, we'll get into that in a minute. The Bears said that they want to get 45 or 55 snaps for Caleb Williams before the end of the preseason. He got 20, if you count the penalties, in the first game. How long do you anticipate him playing? He wound up, just because the Bills moved the ball pretty well in the first quarter the other day, he wound up playing the first quarter. Is that a reasonable guess?
I think that's what it'll be. If it goes the same, if they get stopped two, three and outs or something, I think they'll keep going. But yeah, I think it'll be by snap count, and I think that's good. And that's the Bengals will not be playing their starters. I guess that never really figures into it from a coach's standpoint, but that makes evaluation tough. But then again, that's another good thing about Caleb Williams, if he's as good as he's going to be, is that who you're playing against at this stage, it kind of doesn't matter, because he's a guy who, if he's that good, he's going to adjust to the level of difficulty, whether it's the team or the game speed of a regular season game. What he just needs is the just getting out there and doing it, the operation of the offense. And I think that's really, again, if he's as good as it looks like he's going to be, that's really what he needs, and that's what he's going to get. I think they do have a good plan. I was a little worried about it. I think even they were worried about it about a week ago. But I think they do have a good plan for him to be, to be ready to go in week one.
And as you and I sit here right now, they also have their entire starting offensive line, if you count Coleman Shelton as the starting center, healthy and ready to play on Saturday. Ryan Bates is week to week, which it sounds to me like he has an uphill battle now to be ready in time for the season. Potsy, I wrote the other day that, we can sit here and say that there's no value or little value in playing in the preseason, but the amount of excitement in the locker room after Caleb played well in an actual game setting has value, I think. Yeah. Caleb doing it and proving to himself that he can do it and proving to his teammates that he can do it in a game setting has value. And I just want to compare at this time last week versus right now. I think the general belief in how Caleb will do has risen because of a quarter he played against the Bills. And yeah, I think that playing again this weekend could help in that regard as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of like I said before, it's like, he's kind of the X factor as far as things like that, because he makes everything he gives value to everything. Everything about the team, if he's that good, and it looks like he's at least taking the first steps in that direction. Yeah, I'm not saying he's going to be an all-pro or whatever this year, but I still think he's on pace to be, at this point, based on the small sample we've seen, he is on pace to meet that low bar, which I said, I think everybody agrees, better than Trubisky or Fields ever were as a Bear in his rookie season. Mm-hmm. You may say that's a low bar, but from what we've seen here, that's still significant for him to at least get that. And I think he's on pace to at least do that, if not more. But the original point is, no matter what it is, it's that when you have that quarterback, it makes all the difference. It turns third round guys into first round guys. It turns a mediocre offensive line into a really good offensive line. The quarterback of that, a great quarterback, just makes that much of a difference. So when you talk about things like, well, what's the value of playing in the preseason? Well, having a guy like Caleb Williams gives it value. And so that's why I think it's kind of similar. It's funny. He's making at this, even at this infancy stage, at the beginning, he's making like everything right. You know, like my feeling is, wow, they really have a good plan for this off season. I mean, for this preseason and training camp. Well, he's making it look that way because of what he's done, and this is just a small snippet of what he's expected to do. But again, the theme of this is obviously the effect of a good quarterback. That's what we're saying.
And we talk about the value, the ticket value of Saturday goes up too. Bears fans get to see him for the first time. I think that'll be fun. You know, we've seen excitement about rookie quarterbacks a lot here in the last 7 years. But, boy, I think the roar we will hear, even in a preseason game for him, is just going to feel a little bit different. Potsy, the Bears can't sit here and say that. You know, my theory was that the Bears were going to sit there and say that Caleb did such a great job in the joint practice that he didn't have to play. There wasn't really a great job to be had today because it poured almost the entire time we were on the backfield for 2.5 hours. Here at Halas Hall, it rained so bad that the Bears decided in the morning that fans couldn't come because they thought they might have to move it indoors. Those fans, I think, will come back in 2 weeks to watch a practice. But, you know, the ball was slippery. Guys were slipping around on the field. I don't know what in the world you can learn about Caleb Williams from today.
I don't know if you can, but I'll be honest. This is even above and beyond what Caleb Williams did, with two exceptions. I really think that was a good thing that they played in the rain and they played through it. And I go back to what Tom Brady said at Soldier Field when he beat the Bears 35-7 in the snow, whatever year it was. I just remember him saying, you practice what you're playing, because that week they had practiced in the snow. Mm-hmm. I don't think the Bears did. And it showed. And I just like that idea. I just like that mentality that even though this isn't a game week and it's not going to rain Saturday, probably not, the idea that you practice what you're playing, that you play in inclement conditions, I think is a good thing for no reason that it works for Tom Brady. But in general, it is true. But the two exceptions, of course, are two what look like – to look to me like season-ending injuries for two Bengals players, and that's the risk of playing in the rain or in conditions like that. And it was that's a tough hit to take. If those were Bears players, we would be having a totally different conversation right now. I got to admit that.
Yeah, we hadn't seen the cart at any point this season for any Bears players. We saw it twice. For the Bengals, they had two pretty scary injuries. One required a air cast to be put on a player's foot, which is never a good sign. And the other wound up with a knee brace being put on someone else. Just rough stuff. And especially when you're in a big, quiet practice and you can hear the players being obviously very
anguish.
Upset.
Yeah, you could see the anguish. It was just really that was heartbreaking. It was tough to watch. But again, for me watching it took a little bit of the edge off. The coaches, I guess, understand that's part of it, or at least Matt Eberflus does. Don't know what Zach Taylor said about it.
But, I'll tell you, Potsy, I was there. Yeah. Zach Taylor, Zach Taylor was saying essentially it was football. Yeah. And that's just the way it goes. I didn't see either one of the injuries when it happened, but no, that's just football. Yeah, was his quote. So there you go.
I think it's a fair response.
I went to see Joe Burrow, who spoke after practice today. Spending some time writing about Caleb Williams, kind of through Joe Burrow's eyes. And the two of them have known each other for 5 years when Caleb was at LSU and. LSU was trying to get him to come play college football there. Burrow talked about, how he can handle the celebrity because he did it in L.A. He talked about how he can handle the ups and downs because of the mentality that he has. That's not praise from Caesar, but it's pretty close, isn't it?
Yeah, Joe Burrow is outstanding and came, both Heisman Trophy winners, both number one overall picks, but came from a little different way.
Caleb Williams
was Mr. Big from the beginning, and Joe Burrow worked his way up, redshirted, backup quarterback, okay his first year, and then just exploded with, I think what most people just acknowledge is the greatest single season for a quarterback in college football
history. Absolutely.
I think it's undeniable, 60 touchdowns, and and 76% completion percentage. And if you still saw who he was throwing to and how far down the field he was, I don't know. I can't remember what his average per attempt was, but I mean, he wasn't just dumping the ball off. So
right.
So anyway, those were his amazing stats. It was amazing. So he's in a very special realm of quarterback. I call it the one of my favorite traits, the it factor. He's just that guy who just makes you feel when you see him on your side. Joe Burrow that year at LSU, I think it was what Ron Wolf said about when he traded for Brett Favre. He tilts the field in your favor when you see him on the field. And that's what Joe Burrow definitely does when he's been healthy. He's been as good as anybody except Mahomes and is the only quarterback to beat Mahomes in the playoffs other than Tom Brady. And that's what the reason I wrote about that today is because that's what the Bears really hope that Caleb Williams can be. And he shows signs of being that it factor guy, that guy who just – even Cole Kmet talked about it today about how when even in the Buffalo game, a preseason game in Buffalo, when the lights came on, he saw that that competitiveness really click in Williams, and that's a good sign that he's that kind of guy. Mm-hmm. And you just see the way people talk about him, that he is that kind of guy who commands respect and forces and raises everybody's focus level because nobody wants to be the guy to screw up for him. That's the value of quarterbacks like Joe Burrow.
That 2019 National Championship Heisman Trophy winning season, his leading receiver in every game was either Justin Jefferson or Ja'Marr Chase. So, yeah, you're right. Made really good players out of them. He was talking, too, about how, one of the differences between being a rookie in the NFL and being a college player is just the season. The season's exhausting. You know, he said, when I was at LSU, I played 12 games and we had two byes. And I would add parenthetically, looking at the schedule, they also played Georgia Southern, Northwestern State, Utah State, and Vanderbilt. So, maybe half the weeks that he was at LSU, they were in any real danger of getting beat. And now in the NFL, that happens every week.
Utah State had Jordan Love, though, right?
Then 2019? I think they did, Potsy. Yeah. I think it was a 20 or 30-point win, but yes. He didn't have to cover any. Joe Burrow didn't have to play DB against Jordan Love,
right? But he competes against the quarterback. He's beaten. He beat Trevor Lawrence. He beat Tua. He beat Jalen Hurts. Mm-hmm. I think he's a guy. I know people say that. Well, you're not playing against quarterback, but good quarterbacks like good starting pitchers. They know who they know. They're playing against the other guy. And Joe Burrow is one of those guys who always raises his game, as he magnificently did. You look at that stretch he had at the end when they won the title, 7-1 game, 5 TDs, and I mean, he outplayed every quarterback. And I think he knew what he was doing. I think he knew what he was accomplishing when he did that. So no, I don't mean to argue with you on that, but I do think quarterbacks do compete against each other.
Maybe the thing that surprised me the most was Zach Taylor, the Bengals coach, talking about the situation that they put the Bears have put Caleb Williams in. You know, and it's the stuff that we've heard before. You know, they've got a really good defense. They've got talent on offense. You know, that's nothing shocking. But he did say. He called Shane Waldron like one of the great teachers in the sport. He said that Matt Eberflus has assembled one of the great coaching staffs in the NFL. Maybe that's something you say to be polite when you're in someone else's building and answering a question from a out of town reporter. But to hear the coaching staff praise from Zach Taylor again, I think a pretty good sign, and not something that we've spent a lot of time talking about here.
Well, I will say we've heard that kind of praise before. From a previous regime, I'm not going to name names. All I'm saying is, from everything I've heard, and you know the lineage of these guys, where they came from, including Zach Taylor, including Shane Waldron, mm-hmm. You just feel like it makes sense. Like there's more to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Zach Taylor and Shane Waldron coming off of that Rams Sean McVay tree, and I will say this: just having an offensive coordinator with experience, Potsy, somebody who's not calling plays for the first time the way Luke Getsy was when he was hired, I think, is a very different thing. Potsy, before we get out of here, anything else grab you in the rainy practice? And that's question number one. Question number two, did you have an umbrella? You and I were in different sections of the stands.
No, I didn't need an umbrella because we were underneath the overhang.
That doesn't block all the rain, though.
It was like a sieve.
It's like wearing a colander on your head. Yeah,
like right. A Bears defense in 2013.
Mel Tucker. Oh, man, that's the Mel Tucker defense.
Nothing against Mel Tucker. He was in a tough spot that year. Remember that when he took over for Lovey? He inherited a defense on the way down. Yeah. They tried to do, you know, they tried to make make it work, and it didn't. So we disparage him.
Wasn't the low light of his career, I'll tell you that. Did you stay dry?
I did not. In fact, my notepad got totally soaked.
Mine too. Yep.
And luckily, I have an ink pen, so at least it didn't. I used to use felt pens.
Oh, really?
And with one exception, in bad weather, when it rains, it just you lose everything.
It bleeds. Yeah, it bleeds.
But with ink, at least I still have it. But yeah, I literally pages were torn off my notepad, so I know nobody cares about that. But that's just to say that we did get wet out there, but we're watching football.
It still beats working for a living. Last question: was there ever a moment in your career where you had to use pencil on a notepad out in the field because it was freezing and the ink would not work? That is a very classic Chicago newspaper tip.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's been through that. There was one time, though, the reason I mentioned the exception is that I was covering a high school game at Lake Hinsdale South once, and it was like sleeting out. And I had a felt pen, but it was like the sleet was like so solid, it like wasn't even getting into the paper.
Really?
So everything was dry, so
it
stayed
bouncing,
dry.
It was just
it was like bouncing off. So that's the one time I had a felt pen, and it was a bad weather, and I just kept on going. But believe me, I've done everything. When you're a little inside sports writing, you ever been? This is the old days where we didn't use tape recorders. You run out of room in your notepad, and you start writing on your arm.
I've done that.
Just whatever you can, just to
the keywords, just to remember it. Yep.
Before now everybody tapes everything, so you don't quite have that. But those were the days.
The next episode, Potsy, we'll talk about the best way to keep a scorebook at a high school football game. But until then, we will be covering the Bears against the Bengals on Saturday at Soldier Field. All throughout the weekend and throughout the season, you can follow Mark and Jason Leisure, myself, on Twitter or X or whatever you call it, on the Sun-Times website, via the app and in print. For Mark Potash, I'm Pat Finley. Thanks so much for listening. We will be back again real soon.